Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, everyone. Such beautiful weather. Great to have everybody here. Special welcome to our visitors. We're happy that you're with us this morning. Announcements are in the bulletin. Just remember that, today at 1 o'clock, we have the Amy Holt worship. If anybody can go along, please do. But Wednesday night's the full complement of all of our choir, the bells, youth night, confirmation. And Thursday, the Bible study will be at Union.
Bible study Tuesday for the women.
Bible study on Tuesday at what time?
Nine.
Now, on Wednesday, we have our regular meeting that was canceled last week.
Okay. Just a few changes.
Yeah.
All right. Any other announcements?
No vocal choir.
No choir. Oh, that's right.
St. Luke's Call Committee will be meeting today after church, now that Grandma Loretta's back, to give us some guidance. We appreciate the several comments and feedback that many of you have offered on the ministry site profile. That's appreciated. As several of you mentioned, probably our biggest challenge is finding an appropriate and honest balance between hope and concern. The hope of our ministry possibilities moving forward with Union Congregational, and realistically, some of the concerns that all of us have about our congregation here at St. Luke's with decreased giving and some of those things. So hope and concern is the balance that we're trying to create, as well as to be perfectly honest and transparent. If you have any other thoughts, all of your call committee are here today, I think, except for Megan Walker. We'd love to talk to you, and more importantly, we'd love to listen to you. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Bill. Other announcements? Then let's stand as we're able, and we'll turn to the confession, which is found in your bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Lifting, sustaining,
your word can defend you. Surely his goodness and mercy shall daily attend you. Above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and glory are His. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation. Blessing and honor and glory and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God, for the Lamb who was slain has begun His reign.
God, the strength of all who hope in you, because we are weak mortals, we accomplish nothing good without you. Help us to see and understand the things we ought to do, and give us grace and power to do them through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
May we see. The first reading is from the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. The Lord sets before the people a God of clear choice, people of God, a clear choice. Life and prosperity will come to the faithful. Loss of the land will be the consequences of disobedience. Choosing life entails loving and holding fast to the Lord. Life in God's presence presupposes the promise made to the ancestors. Moses said to the people, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." The word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 119 responsibly. "Happy are those whose way is blameless, who follow the teaching of the Lord.
Happy are they who observe your decrees and seek you with all their hearts.
Who never do any wrong, but always walk in your ways.
You lay down your commandments that we should fully keep them.
Oh, that my ways were made so direct that I might keep your statutes.
Then I should not be put to shame when I regard all your commandments.
I will thank you with a true heart when I have learned your righteous judgments.
I will keep your statutes and not utterly forsake me."
The second reading is from the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, where Paul writes that human leaders in the church are not the ones who control ministry. Rather, they are co-workers who belong to God. The one who truly controls and continuously empowers the ministry of the church. St. Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, 'I belong to Paul,' and another, 'I belong to Apollos,' are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Eternal life. Alleluia.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not commit murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or a sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled with your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him or her, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You've heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' but I say that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you, anyone who divorces his wife except on the grounds of unchastity causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows that you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, or for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool, his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come up. Hi. Good to see you all today. I need somebody who is really, really strong. Are you really strong? Okay. All right. Let me test to see just how strong you are, okay? Come up here. Hold your hand out like this, and let me see if I can pull it down. Can you hold me up? Can you hold up? Oh, boy, you're good and strong, right? All right. Well, I'm going to give you a chemical. I'm not going to make you eat it, but I'm going to put it in this hand over here. You hold on to that. Now let's see how strong you are. Hold on to it. Ready? Hold. What happened? Did you get weak?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that chemical will make you weak. Now, do that again. Let's see if you're any stronger. Wow, look at that. All right, you can have a seat. Do you know what that chemical was?
Soap.
No, it's a chemical that will make every one of you weak. And I'll bet you eat some of it every day. It's sugar. I saw this on television once where they had, I think it was Johnny Carson, back West when a while ago, he had a muscle builder. You know, one who could lift lots and lots of weights. And he actually had him hold out his arm and he did pull-ups, chin-ups on his arm until they put that under his tongue, just a little drop of it under his tongue. And Johnny Carson could pull his arm down. Well, God gives us all kinds of good things that he wants us to do, and he says they'll make us strong. And if we keep his word, it's like living the way God wants us to. But he also warns us that if we do the other thing, we'll get weak. And we won't live the way he wants us to. So God calls us to be good and do the work that he gives us to do. And it's like that will make us really strong. So I'm glad that we've got a muscle man here. All right. Fantastic. How would it be if we say a prayer? Some people don't believe that. Hard to believe. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for making us strong in your word. Thank you, God, for helping us to keep your word so that it makes us stronger and doesn't make us weak. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. If anybody wants to take some of this chemical with them, just make sure you don't make it make you weak, okay? All right. You can have a seat. As you see, there are some things that make us strong and some things that make us weak. And there are some universal truths and laws and rules that we have to live by. For instance, I would guess that almost everybody here, not particularly, could stand on one foot for at least a couple of seconds. Most of you do that? Okay, I figured you could. Now, as you're holding up that foot, how many of you could lift the other foot? Now, you see, it doesn't work because gravity is one of those universal laws that's going to pull us down. It's kind of like if you shoot a hose of water straight up in the air, where's the water going to land? Right on top of your head. There are all of those little things that kind of guide us and direct us or lead us in the wrong direction. God's rules are like that, but so are the rules that we live with every day. A coach, for instance, will watch the players, and if a player doesn't follow the rules or continually breaks the coach's rules, the kid is going to sit on the bench. It's not because he's trying to be mean, but he knows that if that person doesn't follow the rules, they're either going to lose the game or somebody's going to get hurt. When I grew up on the farm, I guess the same rules wouldn't apply on a ranch, but when I grew up on the farm, we had fences for all of our animals. We had to keep the pigs off of the road, and the only way you could do that was putting a fence around them. And if we didn't, they would get out, they would get hurt. Our cows, we had to do the same thing with, because if at certain times of the year, if they would get out, break through the fence, they would go into the nice green corn or the fresh alfalfa, and they'd bloat and die. It's just one of those things where we learn there are certain rules and certain ways in which we have to live. And it's not because one thing is bad and one thing is good, but there are certain ways that we are asked to live in this life. Some people see those rules, like traffic laws, as being invasive. But if we didn't have stop signs, what would happen? We'd have lots of accidents. And we don't always like them, but they're there for a purpose. And some people see them as barriers. Others see them as kind of like the fence that we put around our animals. They were there for our protection. There's a movie, Amadeus, anybody see that? Beautiful movie about Mozart. Another character in the movie is Salieri, who was a fantastic musician, very accomplished. And he did music within the box, so to speak. Everything was according to the way the rules of music are supposed to be written. Now, Mozart was just the opposite. Mozart did his music within the fence and could be creative within that. and really brought music to life. Unfortunately, he died a poor man because Soliera had some influence on those kinds of things. And much of his music wasn't published until after he died. But the fence, the rules, were actually not barriers for him. They were ways of living within the music and enjoying the joy of that. This is what Paul gets at several times too. But Moses, in our first reading, he is preparing the people to enter the promised land. And he knows they're going to face all kinds of challenges, all kinds of difficulties. And he says, God has provided us with laws, with rules. And if you live according to them, you will have life and prosperity. But if you decide not to do that, it will lead to death and destruction. And this is a passage where there is a wonderful word in the Hebrew that doesn't translate very well. It's the word timshel, which literally means you may choose. And what I see as I read this is Moses almost on his knees begging the people of God, please, please, please live within the law that God gives you, because within that law, you will have life. Outside of that law, you will have death and destruction. It will lead you in a way that you don't want to go. Follow God's will. Jesus also comes to that point. The scribes and the Pharisees, remember, scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees were all very religious people, all keeping an amazing list of laws, not just the Ten Commandments, but 631 or so more laws on top of those. And their belief at that time was that if they could live one day, 24 hours, keeping every one of those laws, then God would have to send the Messiah. Now, there's something sad and something funny about that whole thing. Because the sad part was they really had the belief that they could force God's hand. That they could make God do what they wanted. Send the Messiah. To me, the funny part is, and I suppose you have to have a weird sense of humor, but Jesus, the Messiah, is standing there right there in front of them, and they don't see it. They're so concentrating on those rules, those laws, those barriers, that they miss the very reason they want to keep those laws. And Jesus says, and later on he says, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. And he tries, in this gospel that we have, he tries to to give an example of all of the ways we build on the law as it is. He says, you want to keep the law perfectly? Well, here's a whole list of things. Forget about divorce. Forget about doing many of the things he lists there. Forget about that, because you'll never make it. Which points us to what Paul keeps telling us. We're saved by grace through faith, not by works of the law, lest anyone should boast. We have no reason to boast, because we can't keep the absolute law of God absolutely perfect. And therefore, we have to throw ourselves at the feet of our Savior and confess, yes, Lord, I need you more than anything in the whole world. It's amazing to me when I read these scriptures one after the other to see how sometimes we like to be like the Sadducees and the Pharisees and control God. And many of you probably have had friends, like I have, who have said, well, you know what? I don't have to go to church to be saved. Well, there's some truth in that. You don't have to go to church to be saved. Does that upset anybody? No, nobody's really. Nobody's paying attention to what I'm saying anyway. But that's part of the problem. We aren't really recognizing the fact that what they're saying is ridiculous. We're not saved by going to church. We're saved by grace, by God's love. In fact, Jesus summarizes the whole of the law, every one of those laws, in bringing up two Old Testament laws and putting them together. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Put those together, that is the full law of God. No, it won't save us, because we have been saved by Christ and by Him alone. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in that Christ who saves you from birth to death. Amen.
Amen.
The only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father,
God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He descended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Trusting that God hears us, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Are there those people you'd like to add to our prayers today?
Jessica?
Chad?
Right, the response to "Hear us, O God, is your mercy is great."
Shepherding God, you protect and guide us with your word. Lead your church into ever closer relationship with you, that we might better know your commands, hold fast to your decrees, and live in your law. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of peace, you show solidarity with all those who suffer. Bring an end to violence, war, discrimination, and all other forms of deadly hate, that we may experience your love through the power of justice. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of hope, you provide bounty for all people. Use our lives to alleviate global injustice and eliminate poverty, that all benefit from the abundant gifts you pour out for your people. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Healer of all, grant healing and wholeness to all who are grieving, lonely, or sick, especially Jessica, Chad, and those we name in our hearts before you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. God of growth, you nurture this community. Cultivate in us a spirit of service to one another and bless us in the ministry we share with the Food Pantry, the Buffalo Ministerial Association, Lutheran World Relief, Lutheran Disaster Relief, and others. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of our ancestors, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca, Jacob and Leah and Rachel, we give you thanks for our forebearers in the faith who now rest from their life and in your eternal grace and love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of all eternity, we give you thanks for the lives of the saints who have pointed us toward faithfulness in you. May we trust in your endless mercy and grace, asking that you give a double measure to our joint call committee. Don Scantling, Barb Millett, Peggy Bierke, Cheryl Gerald, Kathy Ryman, Bill Hawley, Leslie Pearson, Loretta Funk, Dean Knauer, Scott Madsen, and Walker Silbernagle. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great.
Confident that you are able to accomplish more than we even dare to ask, we bring these prayers before you, believing in your saving grace, revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace.
Oh, why not?
Hey, what's the matter?
Savior and Lord. Amen.
Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son, and in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. We know he came to rescue us. A baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for you and me. Our sin would drive the nails in him. That rugged cross was our cross too. So every breath you drew was, yes, a hallelujah. Raised it high and said, my blood is shed for you. Forgive and remember me. Oh, hallelujah. We remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light and bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
stay our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Take away the sin of the world.
Please stand as you are able. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, in this meal you give us a foretaste of that day when the hungry will be fed with good things. Send us forth to make known your good deeds and proclaim the greatness of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Lord, look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
On our way rejoicing.